Welcome to Babies and Bellinis, where we're balancing business, babies, and brunch. I'm Erica.
I'm Kay Alex.
And I'm Casey Renee.
Welcome. All right, guys. So you all know how we normally have a takeover where there are three other guests who don't include a BXB member to take over a topic that all three of us just can't speak on. We know nothing about, and so we never feel that we have the right to speak on that topic. And so today we have two guests, and really, really feeling really blessed to have these guests because they are knowledgeable on what we're going to talk about today. Today's a sensitive topic, which most takeovers are, but these ladies are doing so well within their right and in the realms that they are in. Myself, Kay Alex, I just so happen to know something about what we're going to talk about today. In today's episode is about losing your mother. And I wanted to bring these ladies on because I felt like, again, they're doing so well, provided the situations they've been in. And so I draw from their strength if they don't know. And I think that my hope is, or my prayer is, that this blesses someone who may be going through what they're going through and don't really see a way out. And for real, honestly, I think we're all three in different stages of it all. And my prayer is that someone really takes something from this episode. So today's episode is dealing with the loss of a mother figure. This is not necessarily a loss of a father, but more so the mother figure and how that impacts your mothering. So we're calling today's episode Mothering Without a Mom. So if you all know myself, and I'm just going to jump right in. I've shared this previously that I've lost my mother. It will be 10 years this year, this October 2020, that I've lost my mother. And this is something that continues to impact me daily. And these two ladies have lost their mothers as well. And we'll just go ahead, jump right in and do a basic introduction of your name, maybe where you're from, maybe your platforms, all that cute shit, and what capacity lost your mom.
All right, let's go. So I'll go since you're looking at me. Hey, everybody, I'm Mika Harrell. I'm a military wife and mom of four. I'm also a blogger in the Raleigh area, North Carolina. I lost my mom at the age of 21. I was in college. My birthday is June 17th. My mom's is June 19th. I had spent the summer. I'm so thankful. I spent the summer with my mom that summer in Baltimore. And I got to hang out with her. Little background, my mom was addicted to drugs. Mm-hmm. So growing up, I was raised by my grandmother. But all of my life, I've wanted my mom to just be that mom, just be that mother figure. But she was unable due to her addiction to drugs. At the time that she did die, she was doing well. She was going to her NA meetings. However, I did find out that my mom relapsed, and that was honestly the cause of her death.
Wow.
So I've never really shared this with anybody, but my mom died due to an addiction to drugs.
Wow.
She overdosed.
Yeah. Wow.
She died August the 21st. So it would have been, she celebrated her 41st, I celebrated my 21st, and that was the last time I saw her, was that June when she passed away. So August 21st, 2002.
Okay. We're going to stick a pin in that. We're going to stick a pin in that, but thank you. Go ahead, Trina.
Hey, I'm Trina from Hey Trina. Excuse my voice.
Yeah, guys, we're here at Cancun.
I know, it's been a long weekend, but it's been great.
Fun, great weekend.
Yes.
And I know this can sort of be a little heavy, and I'm so grateful for you all to like be
more drinks after this.
Yeah, drinks for sure after this.
Yes. Pouring it up.
To being open to even just be a part of this podcast episode, because I know this has the potential to get heavy. But go ahead, Trina.
Yes.
Hey, Trina.
I'm from HeyTrina.com, formerly Baby Shopaholic. I live in Atlanta by way of Chicago suburbs. You got to put that on there because people be hating.
Girl.
Like, whatever. But, so I am a wife. I've been married almost 13 years. I have two girls, 4 and 9, and been blogging for 10 years. And I lost my mom less than a year ago. I lost her last April. And she died of natural causes. She was 80 years old. So, you know, but she was a healthy 80. She lived alone. She just bought a new car. We turned up for her 80th birthday. She had a big party with like 150 people, like all her homies. Like, it was awesome. And my mom was my best friend.
Yeah.
Like, that was my ride or die. Yeah. And so I'm still in the thick of it. And I mean, I don't know if it ever, I don't want to say it gets better, but
right,
it's still very fresh for me. So
yeah,
just navigating. You both, you ladies, and I think that's, I'm glad we're doing this because we just connected on that. It was like all of a sudden we were sitting here like, oh my God, none of us have mothers. Like, our mothers are gone.
Yeah,
you know, and here we are being mothers and having platforms
right
about motherhood.
About motherhood. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's deep, you know. So
yeah.
So I think this is good.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, snap. Yeah. We got the tissues.
I know, Trina, good God. I feel it. Well, let's, you know what? I'm going to pull back a little bit. I know we just dove into those introductions. Yeah. Let's pour it up and pour it out. y'all have to sing along with me.
Okay.
Hold those notes for me. I guess I'm going to count you down, and then we just say, pour it up, pour it out.
Okay.
I'll be the bass.
Hey, Victor got us. He got us. There goes our cue.
Hey.
All right.
Pour it up, pour it out.
Oh. Find your name. Find your voice, sis. Find your voice. Oh, yeah, get some juice of that water. Miki, you want to start it off? Okay. Pour it up or pour it out?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to pour it up because we're here in Cancun and we are having a blast. Trina's my roommate. Yeah. Casey, we just love you. So we have been just having the best. What is our group called?
Turn up moms.
The turn up mom squad. So I'm pouring it up to all the turn up mom squad.
Yes. You know what? I'm going to keep that same energy. Yeah. I'm on a high right now or maybe drunk. Okay. Right. I'm feeling good. I'm celebrating life, celebrating motherhood, celebrating all these women. And I think events like this helps to bring a perspective that you can be a mom, you can be hustling, you can also have fun. Because a lot of times I'm like, oh my God, I was sort of nervous or apprehensive going into this event, like, what kind of group is this going to be? Because when you think of mothers in general, and I guess I'm sort of stereotyping my own fucking crowd, right. I'm like, what is this going to be like? Right. Are they going to be
carpool moms?
Right. And everyone's cool as shit.
They
and
are.
I'm having cool. a yeah. ball.
Like,
I'm having a ball. wish it was one more day. Just a little like buffer
yeah.
day type no. thing. Because everything's just been so.
One relaxed day.
A relaxed type of day.
Yeah.
Like even when y'all are talking to me at the pool, I'm like, guys, I don't hear you.
She's
I don't know
zoned
what's
out
I
on
have
us.
My whole AirPods in. Like yeah. I'm zoned the fuck out. But no, I'm enjoying myself. So I'm pouring it up. This is a moment right here.
Well, I'm pouring it up, too, because I'm having a great time, and I'm pouring it up just to be able, that social media has connected us three.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And, like, now here we are, you know, first strangers, now we're here in Cancun doing this. So
exactly.
The power of social media and just connecting in real life, too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yo.
Cause
so
like,
this is, I'm going to say that, too. I'm going to piggyback a little bit on that.
Yeah.
I think all of us may share the same sentiment in that social media has a great side to it.
Right, it really does.
I mean, I don't find myself in too much drama or nothing. Like, I think I've had a few, like, couple smart-ass remarks from some posts and stuff like that, but nothing
block.
That... Okay.
Blockity block.
Okay. Block. Blocked. But it's nothing that a block one hurts or just delete and keep fucking moving or roll off my back. But I've found that communities inside of motherhood, inside of finding persons who've lost their mother or any kind of, like, troubling situations that you've been in. So, like, even Xander's autism and...
Yeah.
I found community
in
social media. You know, so when people are like, I gotta take a break. I can't do this.
Yeah, I don't
like,
get it.
Like, I don't get it either. Like, what is going on? So like, what happened to you, sis? Like, did they come to your house? Like, all your followers?
Someone after you?
Are they outside?
Is the FBI
outside? What are you breaking from?
Well, yeah, I need a break. And I'm like, girl, I love, and we're enjoy extroverts too, probably though.
Yeah. We are all three extroverts.
We're all extroverts as hell. Yeah. So it's AF.
I don't know.
As AF, do you add as on AF?
As AF. Extra AF.
AF. Just okay. AF, sis.
Yeah. Okay. AF. I'm old. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm old.
We still have to, you know, help you, Trina, a little bit. She's cool as shit, but you know.
The senior blogger.
Geriatric
blogger.
She's an OG.
You
are the OG.
Put some respect on it.
I'm the
geriatric blogger. On my blog title.
To pave the way.
I'm a pioneer.
Okay, yes. Okay. Right. But no. And so I think that carries over into finding persons again, even with this theme of having a mother that has passed away, especially right. in young age. We're still yeah. all pretty young. Yeah. We're just young.
Kind of, but yeah.
No, Trina, we're young to be, yeah. to lose your mom.
No, seriously. You know? I mean, I have small children, definitely. So right. it was tough on
exactly.
all of us, yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so, Mika, so you said yeah. you were in college.
Right, so I was in college. So yeah. just like what you were saying, we're so young. So now, as I'm getting closer to 41, I get anxiety because my mom died when she was 41. So I kind of get like, every time it's my birthday, because her birthday is so close to mine, I get nervous. I'm just like, I don't want to die, damn it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, damn, for real. I don't want to die. I don't want to die at 41. And I don't know why I feel that I'm going to die. Like, what does that have to do with me? Right, I'm not doing drugs.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's just the anxiety of thinking about losing, of me passing away and my kids not having me because I didn't have my mom. And that's what I have that pressure right now.
So when did your grandmother start raising you? Or when did you, like, move formally?
So my grandmother raised my sisters and I basically our whole life. I remember staying with my grandmother in first grade because my neighborhood school was right around the corner from her house. So we grew up with my grandmother. However, my grandmother is cool, but it's nothing like your mother.
No.
I've always wanted my mom. You see people with their moms. And then again, sometimes, you know, I grew up in a city, so for me, it was almost kind of normal, but to see my cousins with their moms, but the people in my neighborhood, some people didn't have their moms because, you know, they're addicted to drugs.
Predominantly, and especially in the African American community, it is
in
almost
that time
normal.
Period.
Right. Yeah, especially that time period. We were just talking
the
about
Reagan
how, like,
years, right?
Oh God, that hit the whole Washington D.C. area. Yeah. Even to this day, I see. I work in early intervention, and I go throughout homes and daycares in D.C. And a lot of times I'm in touch with grandmas. I mean, you know, grandmas are definitely taking on the motherhood role still, even till this day. But even they all have this certain look in which, you know, they did drugs back in the 80s, 90s, like the teeth missing.
Yeah,
they're all brown, just dark brown skin, skinny, you know, still a little sporadic in the way they talk and things like that. I mean, I love them all, you know, especially personality wise. It's not necessarily funny, but it's still
it's a little humor.
You know, they don't take shit too serious, you know, and stuff like that. Like, okay, they're like, they've been through some shit. And so, but I can tell, I'm like, wow, this hit your family. This hit your family. So I know DC, Baltimore, it really hit hard in our
area. It was hard. And, you know, because we even had where they had that program where the drug addicts could change their needles in, like the Clean Needle Initiative. Like, that's how bad it was.
Dang.
For them to have an initiative to let drug addicts get clean needles so they could stop spreading HIV and stuff like
diseases.
That.
Wow.
So Jesus. That's how crazy it was.
So how was your relationship with your mom?
So my relationship with my mom, I don't even think that I had, I think that's what I've always, like, yearned for. I always wanted a relationship with her because I didn't have one. When she came around, though, you know, when she was in her right mind, I would always be happy because she could braid my hair. You know, my grandmother didn't know how to do my hair, and I had a ton of hair as a kid. So I would be so happy that my mom was there to braid my hair. I do have really good memories of my mom, like when I was in kindergarten and we lived together. Let me see. So she went to my kindergarten graduation. She went to my fifth grade graduation. And that was the only graduation my mom has ever been to. So for me, when I was in college, I was banking on her coming to my college graduation.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, she made this promise, like, I'm going to be there. So, you know, but it's just.
Were promises broken prior to that?
Oh, girl.
All the time.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to keep it real. My mom straight up was steal our stuff. She would come into the house. She would steal all of our stuff. She wouldn't steal my middle sister's stuff because she wouldn't normally let her in. We always called her, quote unquote, she's real fair skin. We would call her mommy's white shadow because she always followed around my mom. I would be happy to see her, but as I got older and knowing what she was doing, it was kind of annoying. It was like, yo, why she always got to come and take my stuff? Like, who wants to have that memory of their mom? Yeah. So I remember vividly one Christmas, it was like around the Christmas holiday. I feel like I was about 12. My door keys ended up missing. My mom came to visit. We couldn't find my door keys. So my grandmother, like, we had the lock, the top lock where you could lock your house on the inside. Mm-hmm. She locked that damn house. lock.
Okay.
Until we found those keys, nobody's leaving. So then my keys magically appeared.
And this was
my
mom's mom.
Had stole my mom.
Grandma was mom's mom. Okay.
My mom stole my keys so that she could steal our Christmas presents. Yeah. So just those kind of memories.
Yeah.
Really sucked. I remember, like, I used to feel so embarrassed. I would say if she ever came up to my school, I'd be like, I would say that's my aunt. Like, there's no way this crackhead is coming up to my school. Talking about she and my mom,
you know what?
Like,
and
that's
I'll
embarrassing
be honest.
For a kid. That's trauma, traumatic.
It's traumatic.
Yeah.
And so I can't fuck with people posting crackheads and or other drug users in funny manners on social media, because at the end of the day, I always say that's somebody's mother.
Right.
That's somebody's auntie.
Right.
That's somebody's grandma, y'all. This shit is not funny.
Yeah,
this shit
I never
is
thought
fucked
about it like
up.
That.
Probably because I am directly connected to the offspring of these children and see how it impacts these families. I'm like, yo, I would fucking hate to scroll on my timeline and to see someone locally post my fucking grandma or my mom or my aunt.
Like, I would tell my friends because I, like, people in my neighborhood sold drugs. I'd be like, yo, I don't care who you selling drugs to, you better not sell them to my mother. Like,
girl,
even...
So that's another thing with drug dealers.
Right.
I can't respect you. You're making money off of people's you're pouring it back into your community.
Then I was friends with drug dealers. But I would just be, they were like, I was, I dated a drug dealer when I was 16. And
we all had a
little.
And why was I attracted to that? That's terrible. You're pouring it back into your community. Your point, but
tough.
I would have never thought, to be honest, Mika, that you had this childhood.
No, not at all. And I told her I knew it was something. So, like, me and Mika just started talking. I didn't know any of this, and I said, "There's something that is missing." Like, I feel like there's something that you have this story that could bless a lot of people.
Yes,
and I knew it.
You said
and
that.
I was like, you got to tell your story, because that is crazy. You know, because, you know, people with the age of social media, people see you and your beautiful family. You have a gorgeous family.
Yeah.
Cutest little boys, daughter, husband. And, you know, you're living the life, the Instagram life. And people like, oh, I want that. But do you want how it came? Do you hear the story?
No idea.
Do you hear what this girl went through?
You have no
idea. You wouldn't even want to go through that.
Right.
Like, seriously.
Oh,
and the other, whatever traumatic, you know, that is behind it.
Right.
And I think, like, people need to know that.
Yeah.
You know, like, all this stuff, this glitz and glam, you don't know what people went through.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I wouldn't, like, oh, yeah, no, I'm good. I'll stay right here.
You know
here.
What? I'm going
like,
to
stay,
right
stay right here. I wouldn't be able to handle that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Me and my sisters were technically considered wards of the court, and my grandmother was our foster mom. So we were grew up in foster care. But, you know, not to the point where, you know, some kids hop from home to home. We were foster kids for my grandmother because, here we go, grandma from Baltimore, know how to work that system, okay?
Oh, she's not, right, she
I'm
going to
get all this.
And cut the check.
Cut the check.
I ain't mad, grandma. Shoot, grandma said I'm old. I'm trying.
I can't do what I can.
Yeah.
I remember them checks. I used to get $5.50. My sister got $5.35, and my other sister got $5.35.
$535.
Oh,
that was money.
Grandma. I ain't mad, grandma. But I'm grateful too that you all were able to stay together. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's crazy.
That's what it was.
You know, and with a family member.
I know it kind of stopped because she was a young grandmother. She had my mom when she was 15, so she, you know, it kind of slowed her personal life down. But, you know, but even to that, it's like, it's just generational curses. Because my grandmother, like, I'm thankful that she raised up, but I'm gonna keep it real. She wasn't like the best parenting.
She was 15.
But she did, that's what it is, and that's what
my
uncle told me. He was like, your grandmother never really got to grow up because she had your mom so young, and your mom. I mean, my mom used to do stuff. I just learned, like, she would steal their rent money. They would get evicted and stuff. So I try to, like, not be so hard on my grandmother because of the way that she was towards us, but. I mean, it's just like we need some therapy.
Yeah, we do. But you know what? Praise God that like it, like we're breaking these curses.
Thank
you. Because like in their wildest dreams, they would never think like, you know, like young black women could be married in a loving relationship, have children on purpose, or you know what I'm saying? Like in a committed relationship. And be like this and buy houses. It's like, what?
Girl.
That was something that was big on my mom. Like, big with my mom.
Guys, like, and that's, and I mean, we're just, you know what? This is girl talk, guys. I do have, like, questions lined up and stuff, but I think that it's just flowing so well. But even for you to say that, like, when I pull up to my home, guys, I don't think about just, like, me. I'm like, my mother would be so proud. Oh, my God. I'm sure this is what my mother wanted to live in. And now her daughter gets to live in this house. Right.
Yes.
Know? Like, this it's is nice our parents' dreams.
All
I want
us
my
nice neighborhoods.
We all,
all of us have really nice neighborhoods.
Yeah. No, that was my mom's thing. And I know, like, she was so thankful when I met my husband, Mr. We'll call him Mr. When I met him. He can do no wrong in her eye. That is my boy. Like,
Whose side are you on, mom?
That's how it used to be. Like, Trina, don't say nothing. Just leave him alone. He's okay. I'd be like, yo, I'm your daughter. All right, it's me, not him. And, like, she was just all over. Like, she loved that he called her and asked for her permission to marry me. Oh, they had to, like, take the phone away because she was, like, asking him, like, who could she tell? She was like, can I tell so-and-so, mother this, mother that, mother's at church, so and can excited. I tell them? So she was hyped. She just loves him to death. And then to see me, and then when I stopped working, she went to church and told everybody.
A blessing.
Trina don't even have to work no more. Her husband take care of her. And they just bought a big house.
She loves that because
she struggled so much with, you know, with these men and husbands that weren't there, even though they were still married. You know how that goes. Yeah. And, you know, stuff like that. And to see
and
me
that's the goal.
Do it like that, right. Like, she was, like, amazed. Like,
it makes it worth it.
Yeah, it made it all worth it. I feel like... Like, you know, that was her proud moment.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm about to say, when I graduated college, like, and now, I mean, I'm sure we all get it too now as moms. Right. And, I mean, our babies are still, you know, growing and finding themselves, if you will. But I know my mother shared with me, she was like, this is the best day of my college graduation. She was like, I feel I'm graduating too.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, ma'am. Yeah. Like, mine, this is your graduate. This is your degree.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, this is your degree. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And so... really, really grateful for that. So Mika shared a little bit about her past, and so I guess I'll share a little bit more deeper. I don't know. Like I shared with you all, it'll be 10 years this year, and so my mother had cancer.
Gotcha.
And it was called multiple myeloma. And I still think that it was sort of linked to her career in trade, which was cosmetology. She was a hairstylist. Wow. And so she taught cosmetology at a local high school full time. And then she also owned a salon and did hair. So hustle, 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 whatever, whatever. And then I'm thinking the chemicals, really, like the blood.
Wow.
Yeah, because it was a blood cancer. And so went into remission, was diagnosed sophomore year of college, bone marrow transplant, all these things, went into remission. And then it came back with a vengeance in graduate school, my first year of graduate school. And so she passed away 6 months after Zoe was born. So Zoe was a 6-month-old baby.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When I mean, I was like, God, I got questions. I still got questions.
Right, right.
Okay, I got questions. Because I found out I was pregnant. First year of graduate school, and then mom shared that, of course, the cancer came back, and I was literally driving. So my mom was in the hospital at University of Maryland, Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I would drive up and down Baltimore Washington Parkway from the hospital to Howard University for classes. And my mother said, she was like, oh, you're going to finish your degree. Like, I don't care about none of this. I don't care about the baby. I don't care about what I'm going through, but you're going to finish your degree. I would spend the night in the hospital, get up and go to class.
Wow.
I was in such fucking autopilot mode. I think you shared that. Just autopilot, because it's like, I have to keep going. I have to keep going. I have to keep going. And so... my mom was my best friend. And so I was never a daddy's girl. I love my dad to death. My sister and my dad are a lot closer. But my mom was my best friend for sure. Hands down, easy. And so, that And my sister was away at college in New York City. And my brother had just had, just gotten married and just had his baby as well. So I felt like everything was sort of falling on me a little bit. And just wasn't processing it. And so for me, I found that things came crashing down for me a year and some change after her passing. Oh, so wow. That's when I started to get panic attacks really bad. And I was like, what the fuck? And I had just moved into my new house, bought a house and all, graduated from Howard, had my master's, landed a great job in my field, making a good income, saved money, and then purchased the first home. Moved out. I'm like, okay, I'm doing this shit. I'm doing this life shit. It's all good. No, it just, I mean, months within moving into that home, I just started feeling very, very anxious, very, very uncomfortable. And I was like, what? Very cuckoo, if you will. Like, I was like, I'm not myself. I need to get professional help. And even my husband, thank God he's been introduced to the mental health realm of things, because this was 10 years ago, you right. know, if you yeah. will. Like, people weren't talking about, oh, go to therapy, right. get not your medicine. No, I was so embarrassed. Right. I was, okay. Yeah, I was embarrassed, get prayed off and all that. Like, I ain't got, this is beyond prayer. You don't think right. I've tried prayer? You know, and so, but I did the therapy route, which was great, and even medicinal, so pharmaceutical medicine, and I was able to get through it all. I remember the day that the medicine kicked in. I literally felt, I was like, I praise God. I was like, thank you. Thank you for this, because I was so out of it, you know, almost zombie-like, not myself in motherhood, not myself in marriage. Oh, we weren't married that time. No, we weren't married by that time. Just not myself in the relationship, not right. myself. I was anxious. I felt like I was losing it, to where I was like, I'm going to fucking check myself into a mental institution.
Oh, man.
It was terribly bad, and I was so scared. But I remember that day, like I said, when the medicine really, really, like, got into my system. And so I can openly talk about it now, because, you know, I'm here standing, like, I'm a survivor of, you know, that attack, that mental attack. So that was like a really, really pivotal moment for me. But we'll sort of dive into, Trina, go ahead and share a little bit more deeper about your mother's passing.
Yeah.
And then we'll dive into, yeah, how that sort of impacted things with motherhood.
Well, yeah. So she was my best friend. But so, you know, if we want to roll it all the way back, like, my mom was not married to my dad. I was actually, like, a secret child. They both were married to somebody else. Let's just keep it 100.
Okay, keep it 100.
So, you know, that wasn't, like, the best situation. But my mom was always, like, she would just thug it out. Like, she always made the best out of it. Even though I was like, where's my dad? Or they have a dad. Why don't I have a dad? So it was like, I was always looking for a dad. But like, I got over real quick. I was like, man, bump it. Like, we're going to keep this party going. And like, she always, you know, she never had any problems, no addiction like that. Like, you know, she got me in the clothes. We went to the mall every weekend. Like, we were best buds. And I felt like she was really all I had. My sisters are very much older than me. And they had kids. My oldest sister had kids young. So me and my niece are the same age. And so they had all that going on. So I kind of felt like my mom was all I had. Like, her sisters, because she had me older, and her sisters didn't have, like, they had older kids too. So, like, the cousin besides my niece, like, there was not a lot of cousins my age, like, maybe second cousins and things like that. But they weren't very open. And so all I had, sorry, I'm not getting choked up. My throat just going
literally.
Up. All right. So I had, I felt like she was all I had, because I didn't have a dad. Her mother had passed away probably when I was like 6. So she was it. Like, that was the only person that would check for me, because I didn't have the dad, and the aunties weren't there like that. And they were kind of mean to me. So she was all that I had. Yeah, we had a lot of colorism in our family.
Girl, in Chicago, sis?
Girl, well, so I'm the only light-skinned person, like, in our immediate... Yeah, in the media family. And my mom's sisters, they came from Mississippi, like, you know what I mean? They moved up there in their 20s and 30s and stuff, so they came up there. Yeah. So, you know, they have that deep South situation, and it was like, you know, here's my mom who's very dark with this yellow baby, like, here she is. So it was like, I had a mark on my head from some family members.
Damn.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? That's a whole nother pot.
Ooh, that's a whole episode.
So, yeah, I had friends, or my mom's sisters and stuff. So, yeah, so the only person that I had my back was my mom. Like, yeah. In all the situations, you know, people would, like, say, oh, you need to whoop her. I wouldn't even be doing nothing. Like, I needed a whooping because that's I was good. Like, I mean, now that I look at it, I'm like, wow, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. So it was a whole situation yeah. with that, like, you know, I didn't want to be light anymore. Like, why can't I have color? And, you know, and I mean, to this day, like, I just realized, like, I might be kind of light skinned because I didn't want to be light skinned because it was so negative. So that's a whole nother situation. But my mom was the only person that had my back, like, yeah. with that. So, you know, I would be like, I don't want to go over to this person's house because childcare was always a challenge. You know,
oh, yeah.
back in the days, like, you would get shuffled around like nobody's yeah. business. My yeah. mom worked in a factory, second and third wow. shift, overtime. Jesus. Like, she ain't missing that overtime. So uh-huh. I would be at somebody's house. I don't want to go over there. You got to go over there. No.
Whatever.
So, yeah. So, so we ended up. So, yeah, that was how it was. She just always had my back. We had some, you know, of course, high school
oh yeah
drama teenager. But other than that, you know, and after that it made us even stronger, you oh, know yeah. went through some stuff because she just always had my back.
Yeah,
after I moved to Atlanta, she moved down there right after I got married.
You
and
told
stuff
me that.
Yeah uh-huh. she up and moved and like bye. Outside of Mississippi, like, she, you know, she wasn't a
that's
mover
the only place she,
but
wow.
she was retired. She came down there, so she was there when I had my oldest, Peyton, uh-huh. who is now 9. And she always said, Peyton, you my girl, you my best friend. Aww. Like, so Peyton, my daughter, and her had a real tight relationship.
Mm.
Like, she was with grandma every day. My mom watched her for the first year and a half after oh, I had her.
That's a blessing.
That's such a blessing.
Such a blessing, because I didn't have that. You know what yeah. I'm saying? I didn't have a grandmother, like, that I could go to. That was, like I said, my mom was it. Like, it stopped
that's
at
it.
My mom
yeah, okay.
looking out for me. Now me and my sisters are closer, of course, because we're all adults.
Yeah. yeah.
But it was a struggle coming up because I was like, you ain't my mama.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was
especially
a lot of that going on. Yeah,
yeah,
it was
yeah.
bad. So, but yeah, she moved down and she took care of my daughter. And, you know, she was there for both the babies. Like, she was coming back in the room. I had a C-section. She was like, you know, strap me up, wash me up, I'm going in. Like, she was right there. Get my mama head. Did not play.
Damn,
like,
we
she
are
was
only
right
doing
there.
The husbands, man.
Yeah. No, she was like, no, I got to go in there. That's my baby in there, my grandbaby. I'm going in there. I'm here. I'm the grandmother. Like, she was saying, like, she was like, yeah, she wanted to play. I'm the grandmother. Like, I'm here. Like,
I'm
the daddy or whatever. So,
the daddy,
first
the grandmother.
One. Anybody had a baby, she got to be the first one to hold that baby.
Oh,
like,
wow.
She held my babies before they even got them to me. I'm
oh,
like, where are they? She's like, I got her. She got a lot of hair, you know. So, but yeah, we was just tight like that. We talked
so
every
she
day.
She moved to Chicago.
So she moved back to Chicago. I think she started missing her friends yeah. and like going to church and stuff because yeah. it was like, you know, and her health was kind of getting bad, like just, you know, old people stuff. And so she went back to Chicago. My oldest sister was there. So my oldest sister, you know, she doesn't have small care. Daughter's my age, so she was able to help her out more than I could, because now here I am with, you know, small oh, yeah. two small kids. Well, it was even before Harper, but with a small child, you know, a husband and a whole thing like that. And she just wanted to go back, so she moved back. Everything was cool, so I just traveled to Chicago to see her a lot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we would FaceTime. She went and got an iPhone, learned how to work
yes,
it.
Yes, mom.
Yeah, like I said, she was 80. So, like, we FaceTime Sheesh. Every single
I
day.
Really, yeah.
And, like, I would put the FaceTime up and cook dinner and just talk to her. So,
yeah.
it was like we were always together.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's how tight we were. And we would eat. I'd be eating. She'd be like, what you cooking? Let me see it. Ooh, I might make that tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And stuff like that. And she just, you yeah. know, she would be on Instagram liking pictures. She started posting
oh,
selfies.
Oh, man.
She was like, no, she I mean, the oh, sweetest. She is so cute. Like, seriously. But
and
yeah.
So, and she passed.
So she passed
suddenly,
in April. Yeah. Like, really, I FaceTimed her that night. And then the next day, my sister called. And it was crazy when the phone rung, like,
you
that afternoon.
Something.
And I saw my sister's number. My sister, first of all, only calls me like once a month. And it's not during the day, because she's usually sleeping because she works nights or something. And I saw it, and I said, oh, no. And I just knew something had happened.
Mm.
I just knew it. Yeah. And then all she said was Trina. And then I just instantly, like, started screaming. Like,
what?
Oh, my God.
She just said Trina, and I was like, no. And I was
you
like, no.
It.
Yeah, I already knew. She didn't even say nothing. Mm. And then Peyton came in the room because she was home from school. And it was just, it was a mess. So, it's still so fresh. It's so new.
Was it natural?
Natural causes. You know, I mean, she was 80.
Yeah.
She did have a pacemaker. But she was cool. She's like, oh, I went to the doctor this week, and he was like, everything was good, and, you know, just stuff like that.
And, you know, so this is interesting, just different aspects of sudden, you know, passing, me sort of, if you will, knowing that things weren't looking good. And then, of course, your mother's addiction.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like people were like, well, you know, you had time to prepare, like, nothing. Can prepare you for
not
the
at
shit.
All, not at all. Like even the fact that my mom was 80,
yeah,
like,
girl,
dang,
what you like? She's gonna live forever. Like,
yeah,
you
can
never,
I get
right.
another 10 years? Like, right. you know, these months, like, let's yeah. roll out and hit 100. Yeah. Like, yeah. I want my mom.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say that I look back now, like, I'm so blessed that I had her.
Yeah,
for up until
as
80.
As long as you did.
Yeah.
And so I do that as well, and that's a humbling moment for me. Like, I look at, and not to say. Or put pity on your situation as well, but I have friends who maybe lost their parents as babies, or moms
don't
as babies,
even know that.
Or fucking high school,
yes.
and yourself as you know, 21. I was 23, and not too. Well, you were 21.
Yeah.
Okay, 21, then 23. Yeah. You know, and I'm like, well, okay, at least my mom saw my first baby. You know, your mom wasn't there for any,
nothing,
right? So
yeah.
you know, so I try to put things in perspective, and that
right.
that brings me gratitude,
right.
And that does help to settle me a bit.
It does.
If
yeah.
you will, yeah, because it's like, okay, sis, like, just acknowledge the time that you did have with your mom.
Yeah,
that's you
so
know?
True, because my sisters were, I was 21, and it was like 12 and 6 or 7 or something like that.
Oh,
so
wow.
my younger, I feel so bad for my youngest sister. She yeah. doesn't remember her mom at all. Like, she doesn't really have
wow.
a good memory of her.
Yeah.
She has pictures, but she doesn't really remember much of anything. So I'm like, dang, Keisha only had like 6-7 years with her.
Yeah.
And you know, and she wasn't even with her because she was in and out of our life,
yeah.
stealing
right.
her, you know what I mean? And
right.
just like stealing your stuff, pawning it at the pawn
yeah.
shop. My sister Davia took it really hard because she just always wanted to be around my mom. Whenever she came, she always just wanted that love from my mom. And she was the, like, she was like light. And we kind of had colorism. Like, we would call her white girl, but it was because we
middle
would hear
child.
Other
your middle sister.
Yes.
I think
we
I
would
picture.
Hear
okay,
other
yeah,
adults
yeah.
say stuff like that. So we thought it was okay. All right. White girl. All right. White shadow and stuff like that. But that's, you know,
oh, Lord.
So it's all that.
She's coming back for the colorism.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Jesus. Lord. All right. Well,
but yeah, man.
So, and this is, I think, even, I think we can do this now as adults. And I think, again, like we shared previously, our generation are a lot more aware and cautious of
right.
things that our parents probably could have did better, didn't, maybe didn't even know better. And
yeah.
this is not to be hard
to
on them and down them.
Yeah.
They were doing, they did what they can,
yep.
provided regardless. Provided, you know, being a single mom, whatever, you know, secret baby, provided drugs, provided my mom, hustling, bustling, my parents divorced, all this, whatever, whatever. But what are some things that you do, number one, take from and incorporate into your parenting style or motherhood style with your children and want to carry on with your children? And what are some things that you don't want to incorporate from your childhood?
Right.
There's no other way to really put that, but just like something that you like, no mom, like that shit was fucked up. Like,
yeah.
And I love my, and that's not to speak ill
yeah.
on, because people are like, well, how could you listen, let's keep it funky, you
right.
know. My mom told me, like, we were laughing at the last episode, like, about my traumas of, like, I didn't get spankings, like, I got cursed out and I would be in fucking tears and like in
yeah.
shambles, and I that was my punishment. Like, I did not, but my brother and sister got whoopings. Like, that was just the approach my mom knew to take,
girl,
with her children. Like,
I used
stood.
To get told,
and that's just not right.
And people be wondering why I'm so feisty. I'll be like, all my life I had
to fight.
For real, for real, let me tell you.
So, what
I had to, so Let's start with the good. My mom was amazing, like,
yes.
hard working, just seeing her hustle, and like when problems did come up, like, that was never it. Like, she didn't just bow down in difficult situations.
Yeah.
She always got out of it, and I definitely took that from her. Like, when stuff, like, I could lose my job and everything, I'd be like, well, all right,
let's
this is the new plan.
Okay.
This is what we're about to do.
Love
and
it.
We're gonna put it in motion.
Love it.
That was my mom. I got all that, my work ethic, everything.
Okay.
And even like being a good friend. My mom was a good friend.
Yeah.
I got that from her. But yo, first
what,
of all,
what about in motherhood?
Oh, so for motherhood, okay, so yeah. So for motherhood, Well, now this is the bad stuff. Like, I mean, it's good stuff. Like, just me and her being a friend, like that quality time at the mall.
Okay.
I think that's like, I like to have little things with my daughters.
Yeah.
Because, like, we had the mall, we had going shopping, we had going eating. Like, we would shut down like the mall. So, like, that's kind of in me. And, like, I like doing that with my girls.
Baby, shopaholic.
I got it right. I got it right.
Okay.
But now, the bad was I used to get toe up. Like whoopings daily.
I can see you being a badass.
I was, but it was. I was just trying to be a kid. Like, so our neighbor. So we moved in this white neighborhood. Let me do it. We moved in this white neighborhood, and our neighbors. We had a shared driveway. This is in the Chicago area.
Okay.
We had a shared drive. They had the best climbing tree you would ever see as a child. Like it was calling you.
You attempted.
So
you
like day one moving truck. We hanging in the tree. Like these little black kids in this white neighborhood just hanging in the tree. You know. Y'all looking like some little monkeys up in there.
I was just saying,
you knew that was coming.
You're right.
Got
cotton pick.
Y'all up in these white folks' trees and stuff. It's the white folks' trees.
The white folks' trees.
So, but like, we couldn't help it. So every time I think like she would be in the sleep or in the shower or something,
you
or in the bathtub,
run out
I'd be in that tree. She would come down in my arms. I'd just be hanging, looking at her like,
like
oh,
a damn monkey.
It's about to go down. She'd be like, come down. I'd be like, no. And she would tear me up. And then as I got older, like if I did something, she would call my sisters.
Uh-huh.
Again, they're like 14, 15 years older, 16 uh-huh. years older than me. So they come over there and I'd be like, no, I'm taking both of y'all on. Come on, let's go. Like, so like that was that, you know, because they were like, y'all, you messing with my mom. So like now we talk about it, we laugh about it. But I was like, yo, y'all was like really trying
so
to whoop on me.
So do you think your mom was wrong in calling you all or whipping you and tearing you up? Because you are exploring your environment or something that now we're a lot more like aware of, like,
and
okay,
we talked about it
kids.
And I'd be like, dang mom, like why you have to do
mom.
Me like that? She was like, man, she was like, I was just doing the best that I can.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what she said. And I know that that was real for her. You know, if I wasn't acting right or I did something that she didn't think was cool or went out when she told me no. And she called us like she didn't know. She said she didn't know what else to do. She didn't have anybody else to discipline me. So she was like, well, I ain't doing, I don't got old, my knees are bad, so let me call the sisters.
Was, and you probably was really, she probably was like, I'm just done.
I was hyped
because you're fine with the last baby. Like parents are like,
and she
okay
had me
guys
at 40,
I'm done.
So
she
was
she
mad
was tapped
tired.
Out
yeah. She was mad tired, she so
was
she was like 50 something years old, like this girl, y'all come get you, come get her. And that's all my sisters had to hear, and they would come over there like gangbusters. I'd be like, all right. We was up in there squaring up.
Did that
like,
sort of put some tension in your relationship with your sisters?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, hell yeah. I'd be like, you're not my fucking mom.
Yeah, and
like,
that's what it was. Like, so now we like, cool, we kind of laugh about it. I'm like, yeah, you remember that time when y'all jumped me? Like, but now we gang up on everybody else. Like, somebody got beef, they we all right there.
Yeah, squad up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then another thing, too, my dad passed away 2 years ago. My real dad.
Okay.
You know. Situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, yo, mom, what was you out here doing? Like, how you get me in this situation? Because I was a secret child.
Yeah.
And like, it
wait,
was like,
did you find out you were a secret child?
I found out younger,
then?
But like, oh, my mom was like, you don't have to tell anybody, you know, who your real dad. But I never saw him, so it didn't even make a difference. Like, I forgot about him. Like, oh, that mug. Oh, I remember you telling me. So, yeah, so like, I was like, when he died, it was like some tension. Like, they didn't want me at the funeral because he had this perfect, like, Cosby family situation going on, you know? So it was a lot of tension with that. And it was like hard, like, dang, like I didn't have him in, you know, in life. And then it's like now he's passed and like they want to keep him, you know, this clean bill of health, this clean record. And so I had all this drama around the funeral and I had touched on it just a little bit just because I was upset. But I was like, yo, what was you out here doing? Like y'all was wilding out and, you know, and now I'm here. So. And
but
then,
is it, do you think it's far-fetched now being the age that we are and finding ourselves in the same positions, if you will, not even positions, but just being the ages that our moms and dads were, like, sometimes I'll find myself thinking, like, damn, like, are my parents going through this shit? Like, is this the same shit they were going through the pressures of the world
worse
and
stuff,
the,
though? I think it was worse for them.
Right.
Like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, the husbands, they weren't taught to how to be husbands.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so they were like, you know, going out and finding other people, you know, to fill those voids. Like, he gone, so I'm going to holler at this one right here, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what happened. And there's so many secrets. You know, when you take them rides to Mississippi and stuff, you start finding out that ain't so and so son. Yeah. Oh snap! Right. I thought that was you know, and all that stuff comes out. It's a whole lot of mess. You start peeling it back.
Yeah, girl, I got Tyler some of that Perry on my dad. Tyler Perry type shit. Yes, I got some of that on my dad's. Yes, side. I'm like, whoa. All right. Mika, what you got?
I would say. A positive thing that I took away with my mom, I guess, would be just like how I said she would always come and do my hair, do my sister's hair. Yeah, so I don't really do hair per se. I mean, I wash Elle's hair and like I used to twist it up. I used to do her hair with bows, but now that she's 10, she wants like knotless braids. So we do our mommy, right? So we do our like a salon visit, mommy daughter days where we go. I take her to get her hair done. We go to Chick-fil-A or something like that. Just eat and just kind of chat with her. The negative is I will say like nobody really talked to me about stuff, you know. Like I learned about sex and the menstrual cycle at school. Like, why am I learning this at school?
My mom did the same thing.
I didn't know about
I got they my may period. Have not felt comfortable, guys.
They didn't.
So again, right. So I learned through the American Girl book that I bought for Zoe. I want y'all to get this for your girls.
I can't find it. I got this book.
I saw you post it.
Y'all, it's amazing. I need to get it. Okay. And I literally was not shocked. I called my mom like, Mom, I started my period. I was away at, it was Easter. I'll never forget, sixth grade. I was like, yeah, I had dried up blood in my panties. And she's like, okay. Like, she didn't even know how
to, you know?
So I think, again, we're doing a lot better. Right. We know how to navigate the situations a little bit better. But what
I got to tell you what my mom said. Y'all going to be like, I told my mom, I was like, I think I got my period. She told me, you know, you can't have sex no more.
Oh!
I was like 11. No 11.
What?
Like,
what?
Like, yo, mom. Now, I mean, I was a little fast, but I wasn't it. Right. Like, hey, 11. Yeah. Like, come on now. Like, no more. No.
Come on, mom.
Was I having sex when I tagged the boy on the playground?
What the hell?
Like,
what? Right, mom.
Is that what happened?
Oh, my God.
I had no clue. She said, you can't have sex anymore. Anymore.
Anymore, mom.
Because I was just out there
wilding in fourth grade.
Mom, I'm not having sex. No, I wasn't fourth grade. I was like seventh grade. I was like, okay. And then she bought me pads that didn't have the sticky. I don't know if that was new. I had the safety pin pads.
Stop.
In my
No way. Okay. Never heard of that.
No, Trina.
Yes.
Okay.
No, it's like the C-section pads.
Okay, I don't know.
I don't know where she got them from.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. She probably got them in a pantry or something. She was like, here. And them mugs, I used to wear leggings. And they was showing the back.
Oh, my God.
I don't have no booty crack.
She's got a diaper.
It was a diaper.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're triggered.
I know. Lord, the memory.
Triggered Trina, man.
The memory. I'll tell you. I'm sorry. This went all the way left. Oh, but, like, yo. I used to use it for Barbie bands. Like, that's how big they were. Oh, like, a whole mattress.
Wait, you were real creative back then.
Wait, the Barbie
this is my
rollaway
bed.
Right. This is right.
I had to try to tape the rugs in my drawers.
Oh my God.
They just didn't. She probably wasn't comfortable, you know?
Yeah. She probably didn't.
You ain't getting you ain't having sex
ain't
no
having
more for
sex
real.
No
with
more.
These big pants.
Mom, this never is again. Not right. What the hell?
Oh my God. Oh my at it. Like, I was like, you remember what she told me? She was like, I don't know what she's talking about. I'm like, okay.
I will never forget.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I feel like, too, I guess I didn't answer. Straightforward too. My mom was very straightforward. I felt like, and maybe this is just me, you know, being a kid and looking up to my mom as superwoman, I felt like she had the answers for everything and could navigate every situation and have this like pit bull, strong, straightforward, you know, answer about shit. And I'm just like, God, like even for like how I navigate stuff with Zoe and myself or whatever, just life, I'm like so indecisive. I'm just an indecisive person. I'm a people pleaser and shit like that. And I'm just like, God. God damn it, I wish I had that for my mom, even in parenthood. Even in parenthood. Now, again, going back on the theme of, like, we're trying to be a lot more conscious about what we're pouring into our children. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, Casey, but you can't just be this whatever, get your shit together, get the hell out, get up, let's go, let's get out the house, get the hell, like, that type of stuff, and watching the approach, you can't do that, and so, I'm literally trying to be cautious about, and I don't know, maybe we'll see down the line, that shit ain't really work.
Right.
That shit was not working, that shit ain't work, and you should have stuck to the same old shit, and, but I think to each child, you still have to cater it appropriately.
Yeah, you do.
The approach to parenting. Every child is not a one, you know.
Right.
One approach.
At my kids.
You can't. Yeah. Right. You know. You can't. That breaks their little spirits.
My
and
grandmother
stuff.
Be like, "Y'all bitches ungrateful."
Oh,
she has told us that. Like, that's what she has told us that.
Grandma. Right. Fuck up. God damn, grandma.
Y'all bitches ungrateful. Shit, I gotta take care of y'all now. Be like, damn.
Grandma was probably feeling some sort of way. She was mad.
Her daughter, my uncle told me she loved my mom so much that my mom would do her greasy, man, she was a child. So she, you know, you have that, so all that love. It was your only daughter, and she, you know, things didn't turn out right. So then she got mad. She took that anger out on us.
Oh,
took care of y'all asses. And so we used to be like,
I asked for this shit. She
man,
didn't.
I'd be like, look, you getting paid.
Right. You got that $1,500.
You getting the money, and you always get money. Like, this mother would find money every summer. We getting school clothes money, summer free. Camp money, all this daggone money. We going to the Christmas thing, going to get y'all some presents. Yeah. I don't want to go here.
Right. Wow.
You're able to look back at it and laugh now a bit, like, but it's just like, yeah. y'all stupid. Any regrets at all?
I wish I would have went to see her more, but the FaceTime definitely helped.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that's one of the things. Like, I just wish, you know, you always I wish I got one more call.
Yeah.
I wish I talked to her longer the night before. So, that's kind of what it is. And I did try to tell her, you know, I told her I loved her every day. So, because, like, early on, like, I knew she had my back, but she was not, like, the most loving. Like, she never told me she loved me until, like, high school. Like, that's when we started saying
my mom, too.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Y'all, never. I think that's a cultural thing, too.
Yeah, they can't tell you they love you.
Oh, my God.
My
and now I'm seeing that now in my her mom.
Yeah.
And I noticed, I was like, God damn, my Nana is, I mean, she loves you. She shows that she loves you in different ways.
Right.
But, like, the embrace of a hug is always awkward.
Oh, wow.
It's never, I love you when you get off the phone, and they live in a different state. And so, but I know she loves us. It's just like, well, dang, I wonder how that dynamic was with my mom and her mom.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So, like, my kids,
I kiss and hug.
I love, I'd say, let's cuddle.
Okay.
I'd be like, let's do some cuddle time, guys. You know? I'm trying to get it all. Like, that's one thing that I make sure, like, you are loved. Mommy got your back. I'm going to hold you down, you know? Because, like I said, I knew all I had was my mom. And then when we were, like, going through that teenage period, I felt, like, really alone, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just always trying to be there, like, I'm going to have your back, like, no matter what.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been talking to my kids a lot more, and just, like, I just, especially the baby, I'm like, give me some kishy.
I know. I mean, I literally was like, I wonder how many times a damn day I'll be kissing up on these kids.
Yeah.
God.
Isn't that crazy? So, I mean, praise God to breaking that. Like, that we are just
that's
so loving.
That, right.
Kissing.
That's a little thing.
If my daughter walks to the bus stop, and, like, I didn't hug her, like, super long. Like, she would kind of, like, look back, and I'd be like, give me another hug before she runs off. Because, like, sometimes it'll be, like, I'll peck her on the head, and I'll just kind of, like, touch her arm and be like, oh. And then she, like, looks back, and I'd be like, give me another hug. And then she goes. So, like, that part, that's, like, definitely something, like, I'm doing.
Yeah. And so, something that I regret, I think I was a little snappy and irritable with my mom, especially provided just like I think physically when things started to deteriorate, I felt like a lot was on my plate a bit. And I feel like I felt like I was just like overwhelmed.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I would just get, like, annoyed, just little stuff, like, just snapping. Not even snapping, but being a, you know, a young girl and just being like, ugh. Or just, like, just a little fucking sound of, like, ugh, if my mom would ask me to do something. So we lived across the street from the giant grocery store, and she would say, here's the list. You know, I need you to get this and that. And just the fact that I even had a fucking attitude about that.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like, how dare you?
Yeah.
So that's something that I do regret. I don't have too many other regrets. I think my mom was super proud of me.
Yeah.
I think I was the first, you know, I've shared this previously, that I was the first to go to college. Same. First to join a sorority. She had no fucking idea what a sorority was, but you couldn't tell her she wasn't an AKA.
Yes!
Sis thought she was an AKA, baby. She's like, I totally get it. First,
because she was on that Bootsy.
But, baby. Ah! Trina! My mama told she, okay, baby, give me one of them shirts. That's cute. Mom, you cannot wear this shit. You did not pledge. But she, and that's why I have so much love for AKA as well. Like, because I was Miss AKA too. And so she came to my coordination. She was like, wow, worth every penny. I'm so glad. I mean, my experiences were her experiences.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm grateful for, because I think as parents too, like, we put so much into our children, and I totally get, like, the sacrifices of my parents. Because you want your kids to be much more in a better position, or much more well off than where you are, you know. Now it's passing that baton, you know, in a marathon. Like, I ended here and you pick up. Erica shared that in an episode, and I was like, wow, like, mind blown. Like, if I stop here, you know, and this is the best that I've, you know, given throughout my life, I want you to pick up from there and go further and do better. And I think that's the dream. That should be the dream for every parent and child relationship. And so that was sort of one regret. I think I was there in the capacity that I was able to be. But I also think that I didn't have that kind of, like, closure. I don't know what and I think I need to sort this out a little more. I need to go back to therapy. I just switched my insurance so that I have a little bit more freedom in going outside of the network of the insurance company that we were in. We had to stay in network, and I just couldn't connect with the women or therapist. But anyway, I need to go back to therapy to sort of unpack why I felt like I needed some kind of closure or this kind of, like, deep ass conversation I just thought I needed. Like,
Do you think it's because, like, you were pregnant and in school, like, you were just so busy, like you said, autopilot?
Well, I remember attempting a conversation with my mom. And I think because of the lack of intimacy on that level with my mom, I didn't know how to navigate asking her, like, how are you feeling, mom?
Yeah.
That you just heard a diagnosis, somebody stand over you, a doctor stand over you and say that you're about to die, that there's nothing else they can do.
Wow.
What is your legacy, and how do you want us to carry your legacy? And deep conversations like that, or deep questions like that. What are your hopes and dreams for me? What are you proud of me about? Like, those kind of, you know, like, I don't feel like I had, and I don't know why I feel like I needed that. But that's sort of a regret that I had. I remember saying something to my mom and her, myself and my sister, and her cutting us off. Like, stop talking like that, because I'm going to be okay. Just having faith until the end. And which I feel like I did too, but her not wanting to have those conversations at all and not engaging in it. And I feel like I should have sort of pushed for that a little bit. I don't know.
Maybe she just was so uncomfortable, and she just wanted to think about the positive and get those memories with you guys. So
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm looking to unpack that a little bit more, maybe in therapy. Yeah.
So my regret, I would say, kind of like yours, I regret not, you know, I regret having an issue with her, you know, having an issue of her drug abuse to the point where I didn't even have a stronger relationship that I could have had with her when she did come around. It was always like, hey, mommy, hi, hey, ma. Hey, and just kind of walking by. It wasn't like, hey, mom, what's up? It was kind of like, I'm going to go to my room, make sure she don't steal my stuff. You know, just thinking about things versus the relationship with my mom. So I regret that. And
I could have helped her.
Yeah, maybe I could have helped her. Or even when I was in college, I wish that I had known just more. I didn't think about, like, saying, hey, you know what are some things you wanted to do, or being able to think about questions to ask her, because I really don't know much about my mom. You know what I mean? I don't really know what was her dreams. What did you want to be when you grew up?
I was thinking the same thing. Like, because, you know, there's rumors that my mom wrote a song that ended up, that she sent to a radio station and ended up getting published and all this stuff. Like, I want to know more of that. Like, I wish I knew more of the stories. Like, you know, you hear the funny stories about her hitting somebody with a shoe upside the head, or, you know, rolling up on somebody. But you know, you want to know that stuff. Like, what were your goals? Like, we're doing vision boards. Like, what was your vision? Like, you know,
Like, where do we get our drive from? Because all of us are so driven. And we want to just, you know, we all are, you know, doing entrepreneurial things and just growing in our family. Like, we got it from somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So those are the things I regret not knowing.
Okay. And is your grandmother still alive?
My grandmother's still alive. Okay. We have a funky relationship because just like, you know, when you treat people a certain way, like, I'll give you an example. Like, my grandmother, I love her. I love that she took care of my sisters and she kept us together. But what I don't like is you're throwing it in my face every time. If it wasn't for me, she does that a lot. Oh. If it wasn't for me, y'all wouldn't be here. Miss College graduate.
Oh, heck no. We think
she knows everything.
Grandma.
So that kind of negative stuff, like I try to, like my sisters don't even deal with her. It's just me. So now it's like prime example. Maverick has a surgery coming up next week on Wednesday. Maverick has surgery. She has eye surgery on Tuesday. I'm going to drop down and take her. She has a follow-up on Wednesday. And I was like, I got to be, Mav has surgery on Wednesday. I can't be there. Can Jacoby be there? I was like, no, our son is having surgery. Both of his parents are going to be there.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, like, you really think we're not going to be there? And then it's like, I feel bad that she don't have anybody to, like, she got to find some friend to take her. But then I'm like, I'm a mom, man. Like, if it was us, you wouldn't have did it for me. Not that it's like tick for tack, but it's kind of like, you shouldn't. You burn so many bridges with people,
this
man.
Is what you, you put
and you think
out there.
She's probably just angry and stuff.
She's
like
angry with my, you know, like her
the
life.
The whole situation.
And she didn't, she needs therapy.
Yeah,
I wish she could get therapy.
Girl. A lot of us, I'm like,
I mean, I need therapy, not saying anything, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody, I mean, there's some deep-rooted stuff to really, like, navigate. This is not no play-play stuff. This is why this is a whole career.
It's so
and
crazy.
Therapists are, you know, in the realm that they are. Like, this is some real stuff, and I think that a lot of our families just provided even, like, stuff that's just, like, rooted in our DNA from just like
from
the experiences in slavery. Like, come on, yo. Like, we are still trying to unpack some stuff, and the things that culturally we feel like we have to do, the approaches that we have to take, or like you said, what stays in this house stays in the house, or I have to do this and I have to do that for you, and it's not cool, and you're not going to get away with that, and I'm not going to just let this roll off my shoulders like I did as maybe a child or something, because I was dependent upon you. I had like even with one of my grandparents, and I was just like, you talk to me terribly. Like, I don't care. It's not okay. Oh, I'm this age and that's just who I am. No. I'm going to have to say something about that. Cause now it's to a point where I don't even desire a relationship with you.
Right.
And I had to check myself. I said, God damn, why do I feel that way when I, you know, call her why do I not want to call her or her?
Right.
And I said, it's because you talk to me terribly and I don't even feel like that energy.
Right.
Exactly.
You know? And so, but they can't even fathom you talking back to them, checking them as an elder, you know, who do you think you are, Miss College Girl? Like, you're gonna get shit like that. Like, I did all this. I'm not even addressing any of that. I'm grateful for that. But it would take them to hear it from someone else, like you said, maybe like a professional or a therapist or something.
Because I was the first in my family to go to college and graduate. Yep.
Same.
You told me. You too? Yeah, same here. Yeah.
So she likes the Miss College graduate.
Yeah, she mad. She's
college graduating. Nobody in his family have one until me.
Right.
Okay.
What you doing?
Okay, Grandma, like, that's something that's admirable.
Like, it's negative.
That's an honor. Like, yeah, like, that, Grandma, like,
girl,
legacy that I'm starting, but okay.
Right, be happy for me, but okay.
I don't know. I thought this was important because I know in what impact losing a mom can have, and that's not to at all downplay losing a father or grandmother, any kind of figure in your childhood or adult figure that helped to raise you. But I think it's like pivotal, you know? And so, and ourselves just taking on the role as moms too. Like, I think that we subconsciously take on stuff that we did and didn't like about our moms. And I know we all say, we'd be like, oh my God, I'm turning to my mom. How can I dare, you know? But I think that we also can sympathize, you know, even you know, like you said, like your mom and I mean, that's easy. Like, who knows what your mom was going through?
We still don't know
what your mother was going through and why she felt led to. Now, granted, that could have been that one time where she took a hit or something and boom, because that was the norm. My dad told me that. He was like, oh, we used to heroin and everything. He said, I got the hell out of here. He said he left the D.C. area and went overseas in the army, enlisted, because he said people started shooting up. It was the norm. It was the norm in our city.
Yeah. It was like the whole neighborhood. I gotta go. Yeah.
But you had to be a strong person to kind of stop it. Like, right. No, yeah. I don't want to be.
But
like
if it's right there on your block, like it's right. hard. It's okay. hard to yeah. escape it.
Or to escape one what you're going through in life. Yeah. You know, people may turn to other vices and stuff like that. Weed, whatever, drinks, whatever. Who the hell knows? Yeah, right. And so it took that one time. And so, you know, I always try to see it from that perspective with my parents and stuff like that. But it's something, I mean, it'll be 10 years for me. What, 12 years?
Yep, 12.
Yeah. 12 years for you. And then, I mean, you're still, you know, new in the game, but new to this
world.
This world.
It's a whole new world. It's a whole new world.
Navigating this world without your mom.
Yeah.
And not having that person to like call, like you said, FaceTime every day or every whatever day. Just to like
everything I'm doing, every past. Trip. Like I would FaceTime her from here if you know, every trip I went on.
Yeah.
She would I'll show her I'd be at the beach.
Listen, y'all, and I think about this too, like my mom didn't even travel like this.
Yeah.
My mom didn't go to Europe, girl.
My mom never been out of Baltimore City. It's 18 years for me. I'm sorry. Wow. Yeah, she's never been out of the city. So let me just tell you, I'm sorry. No. I have my mom's ashes, and I've been struggling with this. I think I talked to you about this, Trina. I have my mom's ashes, okay, that's a whole nother story. My grandmother cremated my mom. Nobody in my family has ever been cremated before. Mm. We had like a funeral setting, and then we were leaving. I said, "Why aren't we going to the burial site?" Oh, your mom's getting cremated. Like, how do you tell a kid that?
How do you just say?
Yeah. I was like, "What you mean she getting cremated? Nobody in our family. I never heard of that before." I was like, "You just gonna burn her up?"
Yeah.
What you mean? Right. I said, "Well, when you die, I'm burning your ass." Like, ooh. I was dead serious. Yeah. You getting cremated? Because it was all about money. I had to literally social service. I had to go all those places to get money to pay for my mom's funeral. Which you know, we see that now with the GoFundMes when people die.
Yeah, yeah.
We collected money, but I collected like $5,000. The cremation was like $1,200. My grandmother kept the rest of the money. So that's why we have so much tension in our relationship. Yeah. It's all about the money with my grandmother. But it's just, it's so much. It's crazy. I like lost my train of thought.
I know.
Thinking about what she did.
No, that's deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I be wanting to fight, girl. But I be trying to be like, save her, Lord. I'm going to help her out.
And I think about like, God, how can I have those conversations or... Are those conversations going to happen with, you know, my nana or with whoever or my grandparents or whatever that I really want to say? Or is it just to let them peacefully die and whatever, you know, pass on or whatever? But I don't know. That's a whole nother thing. Right. Like grandparents and, you know, trauma and the approaches to, suffering and silence and just the things that are said and verbal abuse, if you will, like things like that, like what happens in this house stays in this house shit. Like we're not doing that no more. And this podcast would not happen.
You wouldn't like,
Trina lost her mom. Okay. But you wouldn't even see the post. You don't even know, like whatever. Right. And no one can see that it's okay. And, you can continue to aspire to do good things and do it and still reach those goals and still mother and still do what you can, the best you can daily. And I think that it's literally a daily thing for me. I don't find myself, sometimes I find myself like super sad just when I think about like some of the stuff I've gone through or like, I don't know, something will come up or something. And now it's to a point in which at first it felt like a vacation. Like, okay, I haven't just talked to my mom because it's just been a while or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. But now 10 years in, it's like, oh God, I can't consult with my mom. Okay. Now I have an aunt that I'm close with, which is my mom's mom. Both of them actually, both her sisters. And I feel like I can call them and, you know, even if it's prayer or drama or whatever, like I can just sort of consult with them. But still things like that will get me a little sad. Or when I think about like multiple things and I get a little envious and I'm like, God, what are you doing to me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell? Yeah. Like I've been this with this, that, you know, but I also see like my mom did her job. Like, yeah. And all of our moms did their job. They did a great job. And we are doing so well.
They did the best they can.
I think the best of us comes from the best of them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. True. That's how I try to look at it. Like, everything good about me, I know I got it from my mom.
Yeah.
Right. Hands down.
Yeah. Me not having my mom growing up just pushed me to be the best mom for my kids. Like, I live for that. Yeah. Like, I live off Mika of the experiences like
four
I never
kids
had.
And guys.
Like, I'm like, yo.
A beast.
We doing every damn thing. You know what I mean? That's why I do everything I do, because I didn't grow up with that stuff. I don't know what it's like to have a mom, or like, I love seeing people with mom. I'm like, I think it's so cool for somebody to have a mom, or, you know, in my head, it sounds weird for me to say it, but so then I'm like, yo, I'm doing that.
But for you to not have those experiences, Mika, I'm just like, hats off to you, because you are creating.
Like, you see like
beasting out with motherhood, y'all.
Her beautiful family, and like, to know all that stuff, like, Lord, I would be somewhere in a straight jacket, like, take me, Lord. Like,
Miska gets it done, y'all.
Gets it done.
With a full-time
like,
job.
You would think, like, she, like, her, like, she had the manual handed to her.
Travels the world with kids, unstressed and shit. Yes. I'm like, damn. I mean, Mika, seriously, I did not know that about you until I think you had posted, or your sister posted something.
Yeah, oh, yeah, so mommy, that post she posted about mommy. Yes. That was really good. I reposted it.
Whoa,
that's the youngest. About that was Mika? My youngest sister, who doesn't really have any memories of her.
Wow.
So it just like touched me. I was like, oh, she has no memories of her mom.
I knew you were from Baltimore City, and I'm like, okay, you ain't Baltimore County.
Baltimore City. It's a difference.
But, and then just, I mean, and not to say that everybody's experience is the same in Baltimore City. I don't know shit.
Yeah.
But, and
it's tough. It's tough. But I just do the stuff that I do because I want other kids to know, like, yo, we come from a hard place, but you can do it. You can anything you want to do. You just got to push your way up out of there.
Absolutely.
It's all about getting out of that environment because, I mean, my neighborhood, I was the only person that went to prom. Kids dropped out of school in middle school.
Oh, Jesus.
So it was just like, when I went to the prom, it was like, everybody was outside. Like,
yes,
me
going to the prom.
Like, that's Hollywood.
I mean?
Wow.
I love it.
So, and now just to have to say, like you said earlier, like when I drive home from work and I drive in my neighborhood, yo, I'm like, I swear to God, I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Same thing too. When I come down my steps and I see my home, I'm like, this is my home.
Glory to God.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Like, yeah. What? And it doesn't happen often. And I almost am like, this is a dream. This is a dream.
If we
like
are
our
mother's dreams.
Our parents' wildest dreams.
I saw
a shirt about that, like my ancestors' wildest dreams.
We are our mother's
wildest
dreams.
My mom would never, like, she never had a stable relationship. Like a man that provided for her. She was always bailing the man out or taking care of him, or he ran off and got drunk somewhere and never, you know, went out for cigarettes, never came back. And to see me, that's a dream for her. It's almost like it wasn't real.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That is... She always talked about that. Hey, Trina, you got a good man. So, like, there was nothing he could do. I'd be like, Mom, I came home and he was on the bed with another woman. Girl, just let it go.
He's
a good man.
He was tired.
Girl, he paid all.
He was just laying on her shoulder on the bed.
She would put it on me. She'd be like, well, what would you do?
You ain't doing the right job.
You must not have been doing it right. You know, my mom would go hard for him, like that hard. Like, you must ain't doing it right. Like, what? Like, so she ride or die. But my husband is amazing, I will say that. So she was spot on with that.
Yeah, kudos
to
the husbands. We couldn't do without them, okay?
No, we
could not.
We could not be building these brands without them.
Let me tell you something.
Give me something. Okay, closing remarks. We're hitting that hour. We're actually beyond it. This is amazing. Give us something, or give a listener something. And if you're listening, and maybe this is not your experience, but you may know someone who has lost a parent or grandmother or, you know, parent figure, please share this podcast with them. I feel like this will bless them. But what would you give this listener? What, like, piece of advice would you give them?
I would say, honestly, I would say, just think about, you know, just try to tune in to the positive things and the great memories that you did have, even if you write them down, write them in a journal, write them down so you can go back to those points whenever you're feeling down.
And I need to
just
do that.
get some therapy. I mean, I know I need therapy. Like, I'm looking, I'm trying to find a black therapist in North Carolina.
Yeah.
So that's like one of my main reasons I haven't found the right person yet. But seek therapy. Our community is always, you know, growing up, even my grandma, my sister was diagnosed as depressed when my mom died, and she had to take medicine. Do you know my grandmother made fun of her? She would be like, time to take your pills so you can feel good. See, like, so stuff like that. Man. Like, it could be your own family. So I would say seek the therapy. We need it. It's not, you're not crazy. It's nothing wrong with you. Nope. You need to release some of this energy, this negativity. You need to pour it out of your body. You just got to get it out so that you can feel better and so that you can heal. So I would say just try to heal and just think of the positive things, you know, and surround yourself around people who lift you up, and who can be there for you, non-judgmental.
And I think that that's big, again, just hearing from you, provided not the strongest relationship with your mom, if you will, or even just outlook on your mother-daughter relationship. Because I've seen that, like, with Mother's Day coming up, like, you know, your mom passed or you don't have a strong relationship with your mom. When I see stuff like that, I'm like, yeah, people had that. And then their mom's passed. I know another girlfriend, she was like, I didn't even have a strong relationship with my mom. And that's something that I'm like, you know, that really sort of hurts her. But that's good for you to compartmentalize and really overlook, you know, like, total, you know, approach to, okay, what are some good things, what are some bad, whatever, whatever, and like sort of sort through those things. That's a good one. What you got, Trina?
Well, for me, I think it's okay to, because it's still fresh to be in that moment. Like, at first, I didn't want to think about it. I stayed so busy. And then I was like a nutcase. Like, I would just go. Like, I don't have time to think. I stayed up late. I would watch something. Like, I did whatever I could to pack my whole time. And then, you know, pass out and then get back up and do it again. Like, I just went till I couldn't go. And then, like, because I didn't want to think about it because it makes me sad. But it's okay for me to be sad.
It's
like,
okay.
I'm over here, like, therapying myself. Like, it's okay, Trina, you know. And then also, I've just been taking time for myself, like coming to Cancun and doing things like that. Like, I'm gonna put me first right now because I need it. Like, you know, one of the things, I don't want to get too deep into it, but like with my husband, like, not that he wasn't there, he was definitely there for me, but I am kind of a little scarred because he left for my mom's funeral and had to go to China for 8 days. So like, he left from the church in an Uber to the airport. I mean, I'm glad that he was there, but I didn't know it. I told him to go. He was like, you sure? I was like, just go. But after he went, like, I held that against him for so long. Like, I can't believe you left me. And he was like, but you said it was okay. Of course, I don't know how I'm going to feel. You know, you left me with two kids. My mom's gone now. You left. I was like a hot mess. So I do think, like, you know, just sitting in it and just talking to people. And then, like she said, therapy, because I can't have my husband be my therapist either all the time. Like, I need other work. I talk to my friends. I have went to a therapist one time. I'm going to get on a rotation and stuff. So, but I think I'm doing good by sorting things out through in my head. But I think I was leaning on my husband to be, like, my savior. You know what I'm saying? Because you feel alone. You feel like that's all you have is your husband. Like, that's it. Like, this is my family now. Like, my mom's gone. I don't have anybody else that's looking out for me. You know, I mean, girlfriends. But, you know. So I realized that I needed to go outside of him. I can't put all that on him. Because he's dealing with whatever in his way.
Yeah, and men don't. They don't process.
Or he's trying to hold that.
They're trying to hold it together for
They're trying to hold it together and keep the house
running. They don't
process.
Right, okay. They don't process like we do. And they're just not in the same situation. Like, how do you expect somebody to really sympathize and empathize? They're there for you, but they don't know what you're really going through.
Right, exactly. You know? And I was just moving. Like I said, I just stayed busy.
Yeah, you were autopilot.
That he was like, oh, she's doing well. Like, she's getting all this stuff done.
And that's what I told my husband, too. I was like, I think I do so well at just, like, overshadowing shit that I go through that you think that, you know, it's I'm good. And I'm like, I'm not good.
That's what I told my husband. I said,
not good.
I said that. I was like,
oh, you know me. Like,
I'm always so cool. I'm like, I'm not doing well. You know what I mean? He was like, what? Like, but then he'll be like,
no idea.
You've been drinking a lot more wine lately. I'm like, like, okay, you know, but he thinks like, because I do, you know, I'm out here, you know, I be all the way live most of the time. And he doesn't know that side of me, that down, Trina, because I'm always hyped. You know what I'm saying? So, So when that happened, it was like, it freaked him out, like, you know, or like, I'm just going, and he's like, you know, I don't laugh. I'm not making a joke. It's yeah. like nothing's funny. Like, you know, I'm just in this space.
So. Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole nother.
Yeah.
But I think I'm like super proud of us all. I think that we're doing a great job of losing a parent again. That can take, I mean, we see Kanye and I'm not even trying to be funny.
Yo,
I'm not trying to be funny, but you see how that can really impact. I know of another person as well. Any losing anyone, a brother to murder or what, or to whatever, just a passing and no longer having, you know, someone that with such a pivotal role in your life, no longer there, like, can fuck you up.
It's a big void.
It's a huge void. And so I am grateful for Sanity. I am grateful for the ability to keep moving, to draw from my mom's strength and legacy, to hopefully build upon that, you know. And so I really thank you all again for being a part of this, taking your time out on this beautiful vacation in Cancun, because you didn't have to do this. I was like, ladies, I know this could probably get a little heavy, but and then my ass ends up crying. How do I end up crying first, Victor? What the hell just happened here? I didn't expect that. You know, getting up from the pool and coming on in here and doing this recording. We really appreciate this. I think that this will open up a lot of doors for people to open, to really talk. And I've had people to reach out to me, and I'm just like, I'm still navigating this myself 10 years later, girl. I don't know what. And I just pray that this is like a blessing to them, this episode.
Me too.
And so if you will share your name again, your platforms, I'm sure again, you all do touch on this, and I think you'll touch on a little bit more, Mika. In the
I know
coming.
I will.
Yeah. I think that because a lot of times what we go through is really not just for us.
It's
right.
Not.
That's so true.
It is not just for us. Like, that's God does not take us through these things and bring us out of them.
Right.
Okay. God, God, like, where my glory? Okay.
Use you.
God,
use me, Lord.
Use me, Lord. Use us. Yes. Me, Lord. And then he gets no glory. Where's my glory? Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm a jealous God. And so, but no, I think that that's important, because then even for us, and I don't know, I'm speaking for you, but I'm just like, just seeing other people and seeing us like, okay, well, they're okay. They're doing it. I guess I'll be okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that that's important. And transparency is important. And I know all three of us don't have any problem with that, especially via social media.
But because we're, like you say, extroverts, and we're all the way live, I think people need to.
Because some people be like, why would you post that? I've had people ask, why would you post that business? Yeah, that's your business. I'm like, why wouldn't I?
Right.
Why wouldn't I?
Like,
I've seen other women. Yeah, I look up hashtags about certain stuff, and I'm like, oh, okay, all right. Oh, it's not just me. Like you said, it's isolating. Right. It's not just me or whatever. And I'm just drawing strength from that, so. Love you ladies so much. Oh, share your names again, your platforms.
So thanks again for having me. I'm Mika Harrell, and you can find me on Instagram at hwthblog, and that's Hanging with the Harrells, or you can go to hangingwiththeharrells.com.
yes,
thanks for having me. I'm Hey Trina Small on Instagram and heytrina.com and supermomculture.com. Get you a shirt, rep the supermoms.
Okay, they're super fly shirts. And until then, guys, we will have a post about this on our Instagram. Please share any dialogue. Please reach out to either all three of us.
Yeah.
Okay, look, I'm just throwing y'all out there, but please reach out to us if you're feeling led to. If you are local, definitely reach out to me via DM. And I am at underscore KAlex, KAYALEX underscore on Instagram. Shoot me a DM. But until then, guys, let's keep the drinks flowing and the conversations going over at Babies X Bellinis.
Bye.
Bye.
So did y'all enjoy today's episode?
Share with a friend and make sure you're subscribed.
And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.